the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. The confession of Saint Peter. Of Saint Peter. Now, is this a subjective genitive or an objective genitive? No, this is not a Greek quiz, and it's not a moot question. There are those who will take it in the sense of an objective genitive, in the sense that we are going to say something about Simon Peter. He is the object of a confession. Not in this chapel, not from this pulpit. The sainted Martin Franzmann said, or wrote, I got this from oral tradition, that a sermon on a saint is a mangy affair. So be it. So it's a subjective genitive. It's Saint Peter confessing. Now, what did Peter confess? If we would ask this question in the Middle Ages, people would refer us to the Apostles' Creed. Well, after all, it's the Apostles' Creed. There was that story that was circulated. Saint Augustine refers to it. Martin Luther has a passing reference to it in the Large Catechism. So it goes like this, that after Pentecost and before beginning the evangelization of the world, the 12 apostles convened in Jerusalem, and then they decided to draw up a common confession, something that every one of them would be teaching to the nations. We may assume that Simon Peter was chairing that meeting, and that he sort of began this creed saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And then maybe John or James continued, and then all the way through to the end. Now, if we could ask Simon Peter, well, I can't see him from here. He is sort of hiding behind the column, but he is in the window there, all in red, holding the keys. If we could ask Simon Peter, is that your confession? He would probably answer from the window or from up here, oh, yes, that is my confession. I did confess my faith in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But on this January 18th, this minor festival, this commemoration of the confession of Saint Peter, you should probably be looking elsewhere. So, dear Saint Peter, should we go to maybe Matthew 16? And then he would answer, yeah, that would be okay. But I think I heard you reading something from Mark chapter 8 this morning here in chapel. Now, just between you and me, elsewhere today, if people are commemorating this occasion, I bet you they'll be reading Matthew 16, but not in this chapel. Because as we have it in our lectionary, I think since the most recent revision of the lectionary in the LCMS, we're reading Mark. Now, nobody knows exactly why we're reading Mark. This could be a Velsian influence, but not necessarily. We could say, well, there's a connection between Simon Peter and Mark. After all, Mark has given us the memories of Simon Peter. Be that as it may, it's interesting to have this juxtaposition of Mark chapter 8 and 2 Peter, the first chapter. In Mark chapter 8, we have Peter saying, "You are the Christ," and that's it. And Jesus seems to be throwing a bucket of cold water on that, enjoining silence, saying, "Tell no one about me." Some readers will say, this is not so much Peter's confession, it's Jesus' rejection of a sort of wrong statement. Others will say, well, this is formally correct. You are the Christ, but it was inadequate. Inadequate? In what sense? Maybe premature, incomplete, fraught with ambiguity and nationalistic overtones. So Peter was in the learning process. He didn't quite understand what he was saying. He would understand it fully later on. We are also in a learning process. We know more. We have been given more to confess. But we again, we don't understand everything we confess. We confess it, but our minds and hearts cannot fathom it. So we are on the same page with St. Peter. So if we could ask him, "Dear St. Peter, is that your final confession?" He would say, "No, this is my initial confession. You have to go to the revised versions of my confession." Now, where should we go? We could go to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, in his sermon on Pentecost, Peter is developing what can be called a Christology from below. He talks about Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was appointed to us by God by means of signs and wonders, and God did it through him. But Peter also reaches a high Christology, saying that God made him Lord and Christ. But you know, I don't like to construct my homiletical house with building materials ordered overnight if I have a whole truckload that has been placed on the construction site. And by this I mean, I think we should go to 2 Peter. And if I could ask again Simon Peter, "Dear St. Peter, is it okay if we go and take a look at your writing in 2 Peter? He would probably answer, "Yes, this is my final revised edition. Go there." And if we go there, we'll find some interesting stuff. Christ has become sort of a last name. He always says Jesus Christ. Three times he mentions the Lord. And there's a big difference between saying simply Christ and saying the Lord. As someone wrote, "To confess Jesus as the Christ means that one recognizes him as the helper of Israel. To recognize him as Lord means to assert that this Jesus Christ is not simply a national hero, but the ruler of the universe. Yes, Lord entails divinity. And to leave no doubt about this, St. Peter is very explicit in calling Jesus Christ our God and Savior. You have two names, two titles, God and Savior, and just one referent. This is an astonishing confession. This is paralleled in Romans 9:5 and also in Titus 2, verse 13. But some people don't quite see it. Last week in our SMP class, we were discussing Christology, and then we had this author, he was referring to Romans 9:5, and saying, well, here Paul is talking about the Christ, the Messiah, and he didn't see that it was saying Christ who is God over all. Well, this is more or less like driving into St. Louis coming from the east and not noticing that there is a big arch standing there. So, Christ, who is God over all, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Peter has more to say. He calls him Savior. Yes. To know Christ is to know his benefits. Yeah, we learned this from Philip Melanchthon, but it's right here in 2 Peter. He says that we got entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says that we were called to his own glory and excellence. And now, hold on to your seats, because it couldn't get better than this. We will be made or become partakers of the divine nature. If this is not theosis, what is it? But this is as good as it could get. And this is another way of saying, he is our Savior. Now, it's time to stop, but allow me to ask one more question to dear St. Peter. Is there anything else you would like to say or to highlight this morning? Well, this time we get a real answer coming from the text. Peter is saying, well, remember that I am writing this to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, and that I'm just reminding you of these things, so, and stirring up by way of reminder, so that after my departure, 2,000 years later, in 2023, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Two important points. What good is it to talk about Peter's confession if we are not confessing also, at the same time? And it's not so that they were heroes of the faith, and we are so little. He says, you have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Now, which faith? We know it. Peter says, I'm just reminding you. Yeah, preaching is reminding, and confession is saying it again and again. And what we confess, what we are being reminded on this day, is no different from what we confessed at the baptismal font. You know, there is no disciplina arcani in Christianity, a secret knowledge or a secret doctrine that will be taught only to the enlightened or to the more advanced. What we confessed at the baptismal font, we're still confessing. Be it in the DMIN classes, in the PhD classes, in a postdoctorate program, we're always going back to our initial confession, and we are being reminded of it. Today, we're going to make confession. As we come up to the communion rail, we will be confessing. Walther said that Holy Communion is Laienpredigt. It is the preaching of the laity and also of the clergy. Because in coming up, we will be proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ until he comes. But we can also make a common confession right now. And I invite you to pick your hymnal and open it on page 322. And since the confession of St. Peter is basically a second article confession, I invite you to rise and we together say out loud Luther's explanation of this second article, which is also our confession of faith in the Lutheran confessions and our confession at this moment. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, in the name of Jesus, amen.